Well, folks, here we are. We're about to wrap up today's focus with Paul W. Smith. And all day I've been saying I've been hanging out and talking to good friends, but these two that are with me right now are the best of best friends. Megan Spanitz is joining us. She is the Chief Strategy Officer and Chief Operations Officer for the Detroit Regional Chamber. Glenn Stevens Jr. is the Executive Director of Mich Auto and also the Chief Automotive and Innovation Officer for the Detroit Regional Chamber. And we all work together every darn day. Glenn and I even share a wall together. We can tap on it and do Morse code when we need to talk. So, guys, thank you so much. It's such an exciting day here. Gretchen Whitmer's last State of the State. So many people in town today. There's been a great reception going on outside these glass doors. But Megan, let's start with you. We had Jim Holcomb on. The president of the Michigan Chamber. You've been in chamber world a long time. Obviously, the Detroit Regional Chamber, we're a big one, but not all of them are, as big. What's your sense of how chambers of commerce are doing, kind of across the country?
Well, there's a saying that if you've seen one chamber, you've really only seen one chamber. That every, large metro chamber like us does something a little bit different. I think everyone's optimistic, depending on, especially, we just visited the Dallas Chamber a couple weeks ago, and they're really focused on AI and growing business adoption. And they're seeing great success from some programming that they're doing. They have a big Fortune 500 membership base. So they're, I guess really invested in the future for the city of Dallas and the state and really helping their businesses thrive, which is similar to what we do.
Yeah. And there's other chambers that are out there that are the same but different. The Allegheny Conference in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati also have very good large chambers like ours, but everyone does something a little bit different. What are some of the things that you're working on right now that are new and different? Just in the event I don't know what they are.
Well, we're also launching a new series for our members focused on AI that maybe we stole some ideas from De La Sen. Communications are really important, being meeting the moment, making sure tonight's speech is translated effectively so we can break down what it means for the business community. So that's the moment of the day.
Great. Glenn, you are not a newcomer to these State of the State addresses. You've been to several. You know the governor very well. You've advised her on automotive and mobility policy. What are some of the things that you might be looking for in the governor's speech tonight?
Well, I think that what we're looking for from the state is the same thing we're looking from our federal government, and that's more stability. Stability with regards to policy, with regards to economic development, with regards to talent development. And so we're hopeful that we'll hear some of that tonight. I think we will. And that's what the industry is really striving for right now because while there's a little bit of stability, there's a lot of uncertainty right now.
So when it comes to the automotive sector is not what it used to be. It used to be, it used to be the big three, and then we got the transplants. It was just a handful of companies plus their suppliers. Now, how many OEMs are actually located in Michigan right now?
25.
Yeah,
There are
it's amazing, isn't it?
25 international global OEMs with either their global headquarters here, like a Ford and GM. Stellantis, Toyota, they're all here, and they're all here because of the density of the industry, because of the talent, and because this is really the center of the most profitable and lucrative market in the second largest in the world in North America.
And what are you seeing in, flash back 10 years ago, and so many people thought that these startup companies, especially around electrification, would just run away with the market. And it turns out it was just the opposite. It was the legacy companies, with the exception of Tesla, of course, that really did well in the EV market. EV market's changing, but how do you assess the market in terms of, startups being wanting to get into the EV space versus the legacies like Ford and General Motors?
Very different from 10 years ago, and certainly from even 24 months ago. The startups had a place 24 months ago, but because of the pullback, because of the lack of government incentives, because of the policy, that is not a hot area for EV startups. They're still there, but it's not the wild, wild west and all the SPACs that were happening like we saw a couple years ago. It's very different right now. But what we do have, which we did not have 10 years ago, was a Chinese global automotive industry, which is expanding very quickly, and EVs are a big part of that.
And you've driven these, some of these Chinese EVs. You've been there. You've seen these companies. What would most Michiganders be surprised about with how the companies function and how those cars function?
The speed to market, the innovation they deploy, everything from AI to design the vehicle to advanced manufacturing is unparalleled. It's world class. Number two, the vehicles are high quality. And number three, they are full of tech. They connect seamlessly to things, and that's what consumers want. So they are as much the gold standard as any automotive company is in the world right now.
You know, you talk about the connectivity, and you know, and I really had a hard time figuring that out. So, well, I connect my phone. I can speak to my car until a very senior automotive executive that the three of us know very, very well showed me a video of him being in a Chinese car in Italy, and he speaks into his phone and. He didn't have to pre-program or anything. He said, show me the Detroit Lions playing in English live. And it popped up on the big center screen just like that.
And that's a competitive advantage.
That's what, you know, when you talk about connectivity, that is an example of real connectivity. Megan, going back to you, I mean, so in our organization, you know, we're focusing, trying to get faster and better, just like, you know, the companies that we represent. You know, how do you handle that with, I mean, you have so many things to do. You're our strategy officer, your operations officer, you know, you're still knee deep in our communications, which we pride ourselves on. You know, how do you balance all that as you're not a young professional, but you're certainly younger than Glenn and I.
Well, like Paul W. says, it's the team, the team, the team. And we have a very strong team, best in class. And I also think we need to move at the speed of light. We need to think like entrepreneurs. When there's an idea, capitalize on it. And if it doesn't work, fail fast or fail forward is our new slang. But I get my energy from people. So transferring information, encouraging people to work hard and work fast.
Well, that is awesome. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Thanks for, again, being part of our shared team, not just every day back at the ranch in our office off of Campus Martius, but here for a really delightful day with so many friends. Our friends at Acuitas did a great job hosting us. Want to thank, again, the fabulous WJR team. Want to thank my friend Ann Thomas, who's sitting here at the end of the table grading me every minute. And thank you for letting me do this. And to our friend Paul W. and Kim, we love you guys. See you soon.